A moon man, sweet dreams, and new fucking microphones. It's music videos next on Tom and Hank Talk About the 80s. Hi, Hank.
Hi, Tom.
How's it going?
Well, I forgot to move my chair before we started recording, so hold on.
Okay.
Oh, there we go. Hi, everybody.
Is that your hip popping out of your leg again? No, it's not your hip.
Okay, so I don't know if all of you can tell, but man, I think we sound pretty good, bro.
I feel like we're getting there.
This has been
the night. Spent the last 19 and a half hours straight trying to learn how to
We did it. And when we figured it out and when we heard ourselves, I started to tear up.
I actually went to the bathroom in my pants.
But it sounded great.
It sounded, I mean, you could hear, yes.
So here's the story of a man named Jed. And in this case, Jed means Tom and Hank. And the story is that we started this podcast because we really wanted to. So we quickly ordered microphones, and they were like $50 for both. And the whole setup and the microphone holder thingers.
What are they called?
And we got this setup, and we just went with it, and we were excited. And so we've been trying ourselves, not audio experts in any way. We've been trying to do this ourselves and make everything okay. And so this weekend we went shopping, and we bought these.
We bought new microphones.
Yeah. Instead of the turtle shells.
They were, I've described them before, turtle shells from the Ozark Mountains. Carved.
And so we not only did we get new microphones, but we got a whole new sound setup.
Yeah.
And so tonight we recorded some stuff.
We recorded a mini cast.
Yep.
That we listened to again and realized that we needed to figure it out. We needed to step it up.
And we just figured it out. And it literally, listening to myself now in these headphones, because now we have headphones, and listening and hearing what's happening is just so great.
How great is it?
It's so great.
I was not convinced by the greatness. It's so
great.
Great.
No, because I noticed something on the monitor thing.
Stop looking.
Okay.
Stop looking. You know, it only makes it mad. It only pisses off the computer gods.
Oh my God, I really want to stop and listen to what's happening because I hope everything's okay. Okay. So anyway, we got these. I really think this is it. I think you're going to be able to listen to this and go, whoa.
And if not, we will simply improve from here. But I feel like this is already an improvement.
I know it is.
And I didn't realize that Macs were not compatible with turtle shells. And so this is all new information to me.
Me too. And so we're really, really excited. And so let's go with our regular thing that we always talk about. How was your week?
My week was great.
It was great, I bet.
I had a really nice, pleasant week of... wait, today's only Wednesday?
No, today's Friday when we release a podcast.
Oh. Well, the magic of Hollywood.
When we release it every Friday, and that's when we record. This is the magic of podcasting.
The magic of podcasting. I feel like I haven't even lived this week yet, to be honest.
You've been busy.
I'm gonna
never mind. It's been a nice, fun week for you and for me. So there you go.
Okay.
All right.
That's about as interesting as this one's going to get.
No.
No.
Because you know why it's going to be interesting?
Hopefully we have the mics plugged in.
Jesus, I really had to look. I got so freaked out right now.
Hopefully the computer's on right now.
Oh, that would have been awful. So... It's music video week.
Wow.
I feel, and we
are very excited to talk about this subject the thing. This
I just,
week.
I feel lucky that I'm alive right now because,
let's talk about 25 minutes ago,
I really thought I was going
to
die.
I was about to push you down the stairs to knock you out of your anxiety over it. I was like, no, push the fucking button and let's get this shit done.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. Oh my God, my stomach is eating its lining. Oh my God.
And it was.
It still is. Like I'm a nervous fucking wreck.
But we did it, and it's perseverance. And here's the thing. I'm an analog man, as you know.
Well,
I play a lot of records. I do take digital photographs with my telephone, but I'm an analog man, and I'm really not great at computers, particularly instructions relating to computers. And so all the steps and all the terminology. I'm a type of person who's like, you put the red wire in the red thing, and then you put the green wire in the green thing, and then it works. Whereas tonight I've learned the word aggregate.
Aggregate microphone.
Yes. And so I've learned that term very, very well. Could I tell you what it is? No. But I learned it.
No, it's setting up a gosh darn second microphone.
Golly gee.
I think because we sound so good, in my ears at least, I feel like I'm speaking a little more sexily. I feel like I'm really leaning into it a little more.
The velvet fog.
Yeah, a little bit of Mel Torme, who's been brought up on this podcast before. But I don't know what I'm saying. I just know I feel sexy and lucky to be alive.
I feel very lucky to be alive. I'm lucky that that we got through that without arguing.
Yeah,
because that is actually a very stressful thing. And I feel like now if we were flying a combat mission in a World War II bomber, that if you were my co-pilot, I would feel good about that.
Great.
And that you could handle the pressure, sort of.
Well,
sort of.
I would You'd just be saying, you can do it. I'm going to throw up, but you can do it for sure.
I'm going to throw up. Anybody seen my parachute?
I took yours too in case mine did work.
We haven't taken off yet. Anyway, so yeah, that's a testament because in a previous life of mine, computers and computer problems and computer trouble created a lot of angst and havoc in my life, and so it was just nice to just get that shit done real quick.
Well, just the amount of stuff that you have to watch and then read, and which is fine.
And then
but
every
we've read
idiot
so
is
much.
Yeah, and then every idiot is dumber than the last one, and they all go on these tangents about I don't know what. None of the videos I watched told me anything. What did we find? We found a blog about written by a Microsoft or about, written by a
Apple
an Apple person.
Apple, yeah, guy. So. I think we should change the subject because Tech Talk has been great, but I think we're fresh out.
Thank God. It is. What is it? What are we talking about today?
We're talking about music videos.
Music videos.
And the very first thing that comes to my mind when I even to say music videos is Friday Night Videos.
Definitely. Without a doubt.
It's like just that's the very first thing that comes up.
Even before MTV to me. It's the very first thing.
Well, because we lived in the country.
Yes.
And so we didn't have cable, you and I.
Right.
And so Friday Night Videos on NBC after Carson.
And I loved watching Johnny Carson too. Yep. I loved it.
Yeah, me too.
Guess what was on after Friday Night Videos? Twilight Zone.
Oh, that's where you were.
And if I could really stay up, and I really tried. I mean, God, I fell asleep watching Friday Night Videos a lot. But when I could stay up until Twilight Zone, that's really where my love of Twilight Zone came from. Staying up by myself, watching it, spooking myself out.
I can't remember what was on after it. But it was late, and it ended at 1, right? It was like 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But so Friday Night Videos was a place for us country kids to see videos. Like some of the city kids did, or the town kids where we were from had it. But Ah, there. Sorry. I was like, speaking sideways and I didn't know what to do. And so some of the town kids, you know, had cable in our little town, but Friday Night Videos is where I saw Janet Jackson. You know, all of the Control album stuff, you know, that just blew my mind. And it and that's where I saw it. And I saw MTV when I went to go visit my sisters who lived in Fargo or, you know, a family member. And it was the first thing I would do. I would run to the TV. And HBO was, you know, around, and run for HBO or for MTV and just watch it for hours and hours and hours. Because believe it or not, it only played music videos.
Which made it amazing.
Yep.
My, so same as you, we didn't have cable, didn't have many more than 2.5 channels, just in general. And so, how's it going over there?
It's not going great. I'm going to be honest. Everybody, hold on. You guys, hold on. I got it. Hear that?
Was it some sort of a spring bouncing out? Terrific.
Wait, everybody, it's going great on my end. You should all be real feeling good about it. Okay. All right. I'm good.
Okay.
Now I can see you, and I'm not just looking into this. Oh, boy. Well, Jesus Christ. Well,
so earlier you told me that I should watch out because the bracket holding my microphone up was going to fall, and I was like, I don't think it's so. And I started, I kind of tightened it down a little bit, and then you said again, you said, no, I really think it's going to fall. And I was like, I actually think you should stop saying that because it's bothering me. And then 2 minutes later, it fell off.
Not
in
even
my
two
hand.
Minutes later, it was when I was saying that. You were like, it's not going to. And then it goes boom. And he looked at me with big eyes. Oh, boy.
Oh, gosh.
So anyway.
But what I was saying is, you know, also, we didn't get MTV. That wasn't a channel that we had. But best friend Robbie did. And he lives a couple miles away from us and was just my best friend in the whole wide world. And he always had MTV on. I mean, it was on all throughout the day when we would be hanging out, playing with our G.I. Joes, or you know, playing with a dog, or playing with our Star Wars figures, or whatever it was. MTV was always on in the background, and it was sort of an introduction to a lot of the cool music I listen to now. In particular, the 120 Minutes program, which focused on
metal,
you know, alternative, new wave, synth pop, you know, post punk. It was all The Cure, Depeche Mode, New Order.
Yeah, Headbangers Ball was
the Headbangers Ball. Yes,
that was the metal.
Yes, that's right. So it was always a treat to go see that because, well, he always had TV on anyway, and we didn't really watch much TV.
But at least it was something that you knew you were interested in, and I'm having the worst time. Okay, so I'm good. I'm good.
I wonder what it is. Should we take about 20 minutes and talk about it?
Jesus. Welcome back to Tech Talk. It's Chuck and Nate here with you to answer
Hi,
your
Nate.
Questions. And I am, of course, Chuck. All right, so MTV was like a mythical thing. Do I sound weird?
No.
Are you sure?
Well, you're beginning to sound weird.
Do I sound? Oh my God! I sound so much better. I can't believe you didn't sound said I just sound weird. So MTV was this mythical creature to me, because it was like it was this new thing, and everyone was talking about it before it came out, and it was news stories everywhere. And it was these five VJs who were going to be the hosts, and they were these young people. Some of them were from radio. Some were DJs, like in clubs, and music journalists.
Wait, I'm sorry, what year did it come out? I don't recall.
I think I have it. August 1st, 1981, it was launched. So the five original DJs were a little something for everybody. There was Martha Quinn, she was the girl next door, and Nina Blackwood, she was like the harder edged girl. Remember, she had like the shag haircut and she had black eyeliner.
Yes.
And she talked like this, I'm Nina Blackwood. And she still does. She's still a DJ. And Mark Goodman, who was a music journalist. And JJ Jackson, who was also a music journalist. And Alan Hunter, who was the blonde little white boy next door. And it was this brand new thing that no one had heard of and everyone was excited to get. And it was a national, huge piece of news. But there's a book from about 10 years ago now called I Want My MTV. And it is a great oral history from the very, very beginning of the auspices of what would become MTV, which was on a channel that was down in L.A. It was just a local channel, and they started to play these kind of, you know, performance videos. And then these businessmen, these cable guys, kind of saw this thing and created MTV. Wow, and it's a really, really interesting story of, like, the first year and a half where you would – there would be lags in the videos because the guy would be changing the tape in the VCR and pressing play.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
So it's a really, really interesting story about MTV, much bigger than we could tell here. But it's called I Want My MTV. I'm sure there's an audio version of it, too. It's probably from, like, 2008 or 9. But it's really a great read. And then it gets into, you know, and it's just, it's so readable because it's an oral history. So it's just little chunks of, you know, Tom Gallegos. And he, you talk about what you talk about. Mm-hmm. And then the next person does. And it just really breaks it up. And it's a good read. And then you get into the actual, like, first days where these guys had no idea what they were doing. What's a VJ?
Yeah, right.
You know, so you're a DJ. And so you're on radio and you're concentrating, like, talking into a mic like we are now. But now you're in front of the...
It's visual.
But now you're in front of a camera. And you have to do that. And it took them a minute to figure that out. But they became stars.
Oh, yeah.
They became really good stars. In the fashion episode, we talked about Madonna and the Madonna lookalike contest at Macy's.
Oh, yeah.
And Nina Blackwood was one of the judges.
That's
on
right.
That.
That's right.
And so they just became these big celebrities for MTV. But for us kids who didn't have that, for me, it was even more of a want to know who they were. And to read things in People Magazine. People Magazine was like my mecca. It gave me all the information that I could get. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have any of this stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just really interesting to kind of think that I wanted to know who they were because I didn't have it.
Well, you wanted your MTV.
I really did. I really wanted my MTV, and that was the cool thing. You know, I think they still use it. It's the moon man planting the flag, and the flag is an animated MTV, and it changes colors and different things like that. But for us, Friday Night Videos was a savior.
That was it for me. That was, you know, I mentioned it so many times in so many of these episodes where, you know, 1983, I was turning 13. I was a teenager for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as I've said many times before, that was really the year where I started listening to music that wasn't my parents' music. You know, I grew up with cool, interesting music, you know, Beatles and Beach Boys and, you know, all kinds of cool 60s rock and early electronic music. And but it was all my parents' music. And so, you know, watching Friday Night Videos, that's where I learned about so much of the music that I play now as a DJ, that I listen to now as, you know, as a fan, and bands that I follow that I heard for the first time. And sitting here watching some of those, you know, with you earlier, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was totally awesome, man.
And I think it was a way for us to get to know who the artists were.
Yeah.
You know, there are always performance shows. So you could watch Carson, Johnny Carson, Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and several other talk shows like that. And then you could watch Bandstand and in the UK, Top of the Pops and things like that. And so you could see the performance, but then you got to see more of them because every time there was a new song, we saw them again.
Well,
and in the age of Madonna, you know, like, she would look different every video. The other night I sat there and watched every video from 1982 to 2015.
Wow.
And to see, like, wow, you saw this performer grow and start with the medium of videos, which a lot of it was literally, you know, in an empty club or in an empty room dancing and lip syncing to the song. That's what a lot of videos were at the beginning.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that's when video changed from being performance based to being art based and creative based. And videos were directed by film directors and by people who worked in advertising and were, you know, cutting edge artists and cinematographers and choreographers. And so I think that's why videos were so interesting, because leading up to that, you know, you saw that kind of stuff in films, you know, Hard Day's Night, for example, Beatles' Hard Day's Night, you know, it was, they were doing the music, but there was a story behind it, and there was acting, and there were scenes, and there were props and things like that. And leading up to it, you know, after that, it really got creative.
Yeah.
And MTV was a literal channel for that creativity. And we'll be talking about some of those videos this evening.
Yeah, and we should stipulate that like the big law that I'm about to say.
We'll get this notarized.
let's put stipulations on this, saying that whatever. So we're going to talk tonight about like videos from 80 to 84.
And this will be a volume one.
As you start looking at different things, you're like, oh my God, this is so cool. There's so many good things, you know, and there's a few people that aren't mentioned tonight at all. And that's like Madonna, you know, things were just kind of heating up for her.
Yes.
In those time periods. And there's some great videos. But the thing, to go back to MTV for just a second, it debuted and it was this very big anticipatory thing of what it was going to be. You know, these music videos, we had seen them here and there. But then the very first video that they showed was Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles, which is a big trivia question. But I did not know that the second video that they ran was Pat Benatar.
I did not know.
And that is You Better Run. And then once again, even at the beginning of this, sporadically, the screen would go black because an employee at MTV inserted a tape into the VCR.
Wow.
And so, you know, this about a year after MTV, then Friday Night Videos came on, and it was just such a refuge for me. I remember coming home from like football games usually on a Friday night and waiting for Carson to be over, and then you could watch Friday Night Videos. Mm-hmm. And they played everything. They played a mix, mostly poppy stuff and the new, some
yeah,
new wave,
some
but
new
not
wave.
Much.
Not a
much.
Lot, but it was a pretty, they played a lot of metal, and mm-hmm. it was primarily top 40.
Yes.
And it was, there was a countdown. It was, they, you know, people called and voted. Yeah. People called and voted for, you know, like, and the number one video for this week is.
It was always a battle.
Yeah,
it was
between
two bands, and then the winner went to the next week, and then they battled someone else, and you could call in and vote at that time.
And you could call and vote.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever did that, but.
I don't think I did. I don't think I did, because it cost.
And you had to use the rotary phone.
Yeah.
Which took 20 minutes.
And it cost, so. But I that's where I saw, I don't remember the first video I saw, but I do remember certain things sticking out, and that would be Lionel Richie's All Night Long.
Oh yeah.
And one video that I want to talk about tonight, which is Pat Benatar's Love is a Battlefield.
Love that one.
And I loved and love Pat Benatar so much. I think she's so cool.
And she's extra amazing in this particular video.
God, it's so good. So this is a great example of there's a couple very distinct, a few very distinct categories of a 80s music video, and that would be cinematic, you know, like you said, like mm-hmm. shot on yeah. film with a larger budget and a larger scope and a story. And then there is the performance-based, where it's this, the band, you know, 99 Luftballons,
yeah.
Nina. It's just her and the band performing. They happen to be like in a missile field, but still no storyline there. And then the kind of like
Well, 99 Lift Balloons is about a nuclear war.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Just double checking. Sorry.
Did you really think that I thought it was about balloons?
I was wondering. I thought you had it confused for the Little Red Balloon, which was that French film from the 50s.
Yes. Which is, oh, boy. So you want to put me to sleep? Get me a French film. So then the more avant-garde weird ones, you've got one of those coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lies by Talking Heads is a super weird avant-garde.
Yeah.
You know, shot on video type of very different thing. And so this one is really, it's a cinematic. It's a 6-minute film. And it's Pat Benatar, who was probably, let's say, 32 at the time, maybe.
As beautiful as ever.
As beautiful as ever, but she's playing a teenager. And she is having a fight with her parents. So this is touted as the first video to have dialogue.
Interesting.
And so they stop, you know, at the beginning, it's the song, you know, the song in the background. And then she's fighting with her father and she's running away from home. She waves at her little brother, you know, up.
We call him Timmy.
And she runs away and you see her on the back of a bus, very 80s, dressed in a great sweater, like a tangerine sweater.
Looking very sad.
And she ends up in New York City and it's 1982 New York City. So everyone needs to not think of like, oh, I love Park Slope. No, you literally would have been murdered there when they filmed this video. And so she's in New York City and we see very quickly that she's become a taxi dancer. And so that was like, you know, Tina Turner's private dancer, dancer for money. So that's what Pat Benatar is. And she is dressed in the most wonderfully insane. Her hair is high atop her head in a very 80s poof with a big headbands and wraps.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very big. And a spaghetti strap top of the dress, and then the dress is literally like sheets hung over a rope around her waist.
Like rags.
Rags.
And she looks incredible.
And she looks fucking insanely incredible. And she, you know, is dancing with the guys, and then she doesn't want to, and she sees one of her coworkers getting harassed by a pimp. And she goes over and breaks it up, and then he tries to get in her face, and he's super scary.
Freaky look. He's really scary.
And very, you know, so they're really telling the story. And then through the whole time that we were watching it, I kept going, here it comes. Oh my God, here it comes. And I was waiting for the extended dance break because it is mesmerizing when all of the taxi dancers are dancing and
the shoulder shake,
doing a shoulder shimmy and really like just staring down this pimp. It is amazing. And so the fashion of it all is just so quintessential 80s. And so 80s, but in that like gritty, over the top way of like trying to, you know, make this kind of a fantasy world.
Make it look like something.
Yes. And not as reality. And the girls are dancing to this pimp and then they run out and then it's, you know, dawn and they all say goodbye and she walks off and saunters off into the sunset in a, you know, soft
not
clothes.
Before she turns around and gives a hug to the last girl after the dance, which was just a really sweet little second.
Like they there. You know, they had really bonded, you could tell. But it was a video that I remember seeing it and you can dance if you want to, and you're being a friend of mine.
Okay, is that the one you want? Did you want to talk about that one?
Well, no, but they were on the same video show that the kids used to watch. So I love that video, but I love that whole album. And that was produced, as always, by her husband, still to this day, Neil Giraldo. He was also her guitar player, and I think still is.
Did he get beat up by Nazis in the bathroom?
Wait, what?
That's Geraldo Rivera.
Oh, my God. And it wasn't in the bathroom. It was on the fucking stage of his show.
What's the difference?
That is not... Neil Giraldo did not... That did not happen to him. And I actually think, now they did about a decade ago, they had a show, a nightly show in Prim, one of those two towns right outside of Vegas.
Oh.
They had a nightly show at one of the casinos there.
Oh, wow.
Which, good for them.
Yeah.
I would have gone to it.
Great.
So that's one of my big picks that I wanted to talk about because I love it so much.
I love that one, and I loved watching it again tonight. I love the intro, the argument with the family, and I love that in the video she sends a letter to little Timmy, and he's excited to read it and to get this letter from him, and that
you know, and it says that everything's great,
and you can tell she's like on the bus at the end, and she closes her eyes and. You can tell, it's like, was she dreaming that happened, or did it already happen, or was it about to happen?
Or is she going home now?
Is she going home?
Like, after it did?
Yeah, so it's kind of neat, open-ended to think about.
After Friday Night Videos, or MTV, I remember spending the weekend with some family friends in another town, and they had TBS.
I don't know TBS.
Superstation, TBS. It's still on, and they had Night Tracks, and Night Tracks was on Friday and Saturday nights, and they played back-to-back videos with no or few commercial breaks for 6 or 8 hours.
Oh, wow.
And so that was another thing that a lot of kids watched, and they played a few more of the more fringe stuff and alternatives, so if a bunch of the new wave stuff that we listened to and love, uh-huh. they were going to play that a lot more than even MTV.
You know, come to think of it, I don't believe I ever saw a Depeche Mode, a Cure, a New Order video once on Friday Night Videos. So I think it was a top 40.
It definitely was. That type of stuff wasn't played.
Yeah.
And that also because, I mean, this is my opinion only. I think they had to really speak to the middle of the country, mm-hmm. the flyover states in which I grew up. Mm-hmm. And not just the coasts, who were open more musically.
That's where the music was all coming from.
And a little more widestreamly listened to on both coasts.
Yeah.
And not so much in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
So I that's my opinion on it.
I think you could be right. Well, I was just going to comment on the first video that I ever saw. Before I even heard the term video. And we were at a friend's house for, it might have been Easter or something like that, at a family friend's. We were having some sort of dinner there, and my parents were friends with these people from their work, and they had kids, and so we all kind of hung out and played and stuff. But one day they had this MTV on, and they were like, oh, this is a show called MTV. Well, they didn't tell me it was called, you know, wait, what's it stand for again?
Music television?
Music television.
Yeah.
Yeah. Music television videos, right?
Yeah.
What was it? And they didn't tell me that part. They just said, it's MTV. And I'm like, well, I don't know what MTV is. But the first thing I watched was Earth, Wind, and Fire's Let's Groove. And it's kind of that sort of, you know, post-disco. I think it came out in 1981, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's basically a performance video. It's just a live performance video. And I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. And didn't really think anything of it. And within a month of seeing that, my friend at school, Craig, who was very much into new wave music and was into experimenting by creating music on keyboards and building keyboards and things like that. And he said, oh, have you seen the video for the Eurythmics' Sweet Dreams? And I was like, video? And I was like, what's he talking about? He must be talking about a video game. I was thinking. And so in my head, I imagined a screen with computer graphics that played music somehow. And so I was confused by it. And he said, well, come over after school and I have to show you this video. And I was like, okay. And so we went over after school and he turned the TV on and he popped in his VHS tape that he had recorded off of probably Friday Night Videos.
Yep.
And played the Eurythmics' Sweet Dreams Are Made of This. And I was shocked because I was like, wait, this is a video? Like, oh my God. Like, oh my God, this is a video? And there was Annie Lennox with her fire red hair and her black suit and her black gloves and her eyeliner.
Black eyeliner and her black eyeshadow.
And her eyes and just looking like a fucking boss, like taking shit from no one. And David Alan Stewart with his glasses and his suit. And I mean, I knew the song, but to see the video, to see them performing in this weird site, it was like a lot of it takes place in a cow paddy, a cow field. And they're in some sort of dark conference room. And it's just so psychedelic and scary and weird. And
British.
And very British.
Very British.
And just weird with them, you know, dancing around with a cello with next to the cows, and it was just like, what the hell? And so I became addicted to videos, and I you know, videos sank in. I saw the first video, but it didn't sink in until Eurythmics. So thanks, Annie and Dave.
And I saw that video for the first time, clearly remember. I was made in seventh grade. I was made to join the football team.
Ugh.
My father didn't make me do much. He really didn't. But he made me join the football team. And as you may assume, I was not a fan.
Really?
And so I remember before school even started. So at the, you know, the tail end of the summer, like the week before school started, you started football practice. Mm-hmm. And it was in the morning time. And it lasted, or it was one day, like one day where you went and all the new kids, you know, it was a big tryout or something. Tryout, you know, like you do for a play.
Sure.
And I remember that I did it and I hated it. And when I got home, I was like, I'm pretty sure I have sunstroke. I'm going to die. I'm going to die and I hate everything and this is horrible. And I'm going upstairs to your bedroom. And I went upstairs to mom and dad's bedroom, which the year after became my bedroom because I ruled that place.
Uh-huh.
No, for many reasons. We'll talk about in an episode. But so I went upstairs and Entertainment Tonight was on.
Mm.
And it was relatively new. It had just started that year.
I remember watching it a lot for some reason because it was on before something.
Yeah, it was like at 6:30 at night. And so they set a new group from the UK, and it was the Eurythmics, and they played part of the video, a pretty good chunk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I saw it the first time, and then I was like, oh my God, what's happening? I need to see that. And then I did, and then instantly fell in love and became an obsessed fan. I wanted to know everything about her. She scared me a little bit. In that first video because she was so in it.
It's intense and beautiful and intense.
And, you know, there's not a lot of artists today, maybe there are that I don't know, that when you first meet them, when you first see what they can do, that they're not leaning into, like, this character. Like, she was in it, and she was in it to win it, and she was putting out this persona of this hard, you know, woman in this amazing alto.
Yes.
Amazing
powerful
alto voice and not some pretty soprano voice. It was digging in. It was just such an interesting thing to see, and she had this persona, and so did he was the quiet guy who didn't talk, you know. They were
he made the music and she sang,
and it was like the modern day at that time Captain and Tennille.
Wow. Well, in many ways you could be right. In several, you could be wrong. I don't know. I agree. It was a much better version of Captain. It's a version of Captain Tennille that I wish I had in the 70s.
Yes.
But I waited until the 80s.
But we got him in the 80s. And so the follow-up to that, the second single from them was Here Comes the Rain Again. And that's a video that is a must for me.
It is absolutely one of the most incredible videos ever. It's so beautiful. And the song, though.
It's mostly her in a billowing nightgown, and she's on the moors. And it's just this amazing, amazing, amazing cinematic looking epic. Looks like
it's
a big
not just
epic.
Cameras facing a stage and details and close-ups of the instruments and
artists. It's very cinematic, and it's much different than the first video. So then in 1983, I met a young lady that I worshipped and still do to this day. And she works constantly, and her name is Cyndi Lauper. And she came out with this song called Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And I saw this when I was in Fargo visiting a cousin or something at their home. And I saw this weird, wacky girl.
Half head shaved.
With this flame red,
which
long
is like
hair.
The style right now for
yes.
most of the women I see walking around.
And she had a little pork pie hat and a little vintage dress. And, you know, her mother, she comes in at the beginning and she, you know, singing about how she's coming home in the morning light. And she is. And she sees her mother at the kitchen table. And it's this old Italian lady. And it's her mother. It's her real
her
life
mother.
And then we meet her father. And her father is played by Captain Lou Albano, who was a pro wrestler in the kind of the lower echelon of the wrestling community. And Cyndi Lauper became all about wrestlers. For quite a while, like for a couple of years, like they were in her videos. He was in her video for the Goonies song that she did, Good Enough.
There was also, wasn't he also in Shebop?
I'm sure.
I think so.
Which is an amazing song. We might need to do an hour on Cyndi Lauper.
I think we will. Let's start right now.
Okay. So, hi, Tom.
Hi.
So then you meet her mom, and then you meet her girlfriends over the phone. Like, she's calling people, or someone calls her, and she picks up. And, you know, what all these cool bohemian New York...
Cool girls. They just want to have fun.
Yeah.
They're cool.
And
they're hip.
Like, they're totally alternative, and it's so... it's completely inclusive.
Very diverse
group of women, and it's just so cool. And I fell in love with them, and I wanted to be their friend, and I thought that they would bet the coolest... And it has kind of the sitcom-y vibe, but the real thing is like New York City. It's all about being in New York City, and all of her girlfriends meet up and they're running around, and you can see all these people standing around going, who are these girls? And they're running around by all these construction workers. And it was just one of these things where I felt like, wow, that would be someone who I would want to be my friend.
I wanted to have fun like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, they're just having so much, I love that. It's such a positive song.
And I just wanted to be, with those cool people and not be on a farm by myself all the time. And I treasure my alone time now. Mm-hmm. But I had so much of it and I was always alone. My sisters were all gone from the house when we moved to the big house and to the huge farm where I had nothing but space to run around and
I was lucky because I got to hang out with a lot of girls like that. They were all, you know, kind of the alternative crowd at school, the sort of the new wave pretty and pink crowd at my school was like that. And, you know, I was just in love with Cyndi Lauper. I thought, you know, like, I thought Madonna was beautiful. You know, I had my crushes as a teenager. But really, Cyndi Lauper was something different because she was so cute, but she had that vintage, she wore all that vintage stuff. And I was attracted to that. I was drawn to the vintage look back then. And that was sort of the beginning of that for me with her dresses. And, you know, I love on the cover of that album, she's so unusual. She's got her shoes off, you know, and then on the back, it's the bottom of her shoes with the sky and sun. And it looks like a you know, a Monet painting or something like that. And I just loved her look. I loved her half, you know, shaved hair and her kind of messy hair and her, all of her jewelry and bracelets. And boy, I just thought she was so cute. I really just loved her. She was so neat. And her voice.
And she had this voice that was kind of maybe underestimated. Because it was, you know, this little squeaky thing. But then when you really listen to her do Ballad, like Time After Time, mm-hmm. which is another video that's heartbreaking and so good. And it was with her long-term boyfriend at the time played the guy that she's breaking up with.
Yeah.
And he was in a lot of her videos. And... she went on to marry an actor. If you watch Law and Order SVU, he plays an attorney. He plays like one of the smarmy defense attorneys in like probably 30 or 40 episodes.
Huh.
And, you know, New York based. And so she has recorded consistently. And then she won the Tony about 4 years ago for best music. for Kinky Boots, for the Broadway musical Kinky Boots, which is traveling all over the world in tours and I think is actually maybe still on Broadway. And so she's still had a lot of success and had it in different ways.
One of the things I loved about Ada's videos were some of the more horrible ones. And so we talk, you know, like you have Annie Lennox doing this amazing thing with her suit and her hair and cows in the field and all these creative and artistic. And then you just have these ones where it's just somebody like, oh, I think we're going to do this thing. I don't know. Hit the costume closet and see what we got. And we'll wing it from there.
Are you guys game? Yeah. All right.
Okay, sure. And so one of my favorite worst videos from the 80s is Asia's Don't Cry, which is just one of my favorite, you know, they prog rock songs, they call it. It's a great song. It's really beautiful. It's kind of, you know, overly dramatic. And I just love that about it. Don't cry. It's just awesome. And so a couple years ago, I thought, you know, I need to look that video up. It's been a while. I wonder, you know, I bet it's pretty cool. And I typed it in and it's awful. I mean,
it's shocking.
It's shockingly awful.
Yeah, it really is.
It's like a ripoff of Indiana Jones.
But I mean, who approved? Like, that thing cost money. They had to pay to make this piece of. I mean, it was. I don't know one music executive who was like, got it, that's it. Cut.
Yeah, exactly.
Cut.
Even for 1983. Perfect. And, you know, most of my favorite videos are from 1983, apparently, it turns out, as I did my research today. And that's why that 1983 keeps sticking out. But so I love the terrible ones. And then you get the weird ones. You get like Lindsey Buckingham doing Go Insane, which is like weird. There's strange effects on the camera and there's objects floating around him and so I just like the weird ones too.
And the thing about that Lindsey Buckingham is he had just come off of a big hit with the theme from Vacation, Chevy Chase movie.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Holiday Road.
That's Lindsey Buckingham?
Yeah.
What?
And that's such a good song.
Whoa, mind blown, everyone. Mind blown.
So
oh
he
my
kind
God.
Of had like carte blanche because he had this big success already. And then they like, you know, it looks like they allowed him to make this crazy video.
How have I not known that?
Yeah, Holiday Road. One of my favorite 80s songs.
Oh, it's
actually
a great song. I just never.
That was his first Fleetwood Mac thing.
It just goes to show you. You can always learn more about something that you know about already. It's pretty cool.
And you know what? It's interesting to think about Fleetwood Mac quickly. Mick Fleetwood, Stevie Nicks, Christine McVie, and Lindsey Buckingham. And then what other guy? Sorry, other guy.
Mick Fleetwood.
No, the other.
Chad.
The little guy.
Steve Green.
Chad Steve
no.
Green.
Green.
Chad Steve Peter Green. Was great. But anyway, so check out any video by Stevie Nicks.
Yes.
From the Belladonna album. Christine McVie had one big hit.
I do recall.
And that was a silly, cool video too. But then Lindsey Buckingham just kind of went out and made these weird things. So did Mick Fleetwood. But I love that video. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was cool. It reminds me a little bit of The Cars, You Must Think I'm Crazy.
Yeah.
And where it's kind of kooky.
On video, a lot of superimposing and
yeah, yeah.
Things.
What's one of your big favorites?
So one of my big favorites, and I've always been open, like I've had a hard time having to justify facts or rumors or different things about Michael Jackson. And I always, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. I was such a big fan when I was a kid. And then, you know, all these things happened and all of these kind of weird things that tainted a lot of stuff. But there's no denying that the best video of the 80s mm-hmm. is Thriller.
Positively, without a doubt. Any kind of, any genre, any positively.
Yeah. You can't go back that it's not. It was a game changer. And it was intended to be a video, but at the same time, the director, John Landis, who was real big at that point, Animal House, all sorts of big movies, he wanted to take this cinematic take, but moreover, he wanted to go over the 12-minute time limit that is the eligibility factor to be nominated for a short film Oscar.
Interesting.
This did not get nominated. It comes in at 13 minutes and 12 seconds, and it did not get nominated, but it's from the biggest album of all time, Thriller.
I mean, it was a phenomenon, this video.
And this album. And,
huge.
You know, I'm sure he'll come up again. It's been hard. I've always fought talking about him, but
yeah.
There's no denying that this video is big, and John Landis directed it, and there's kind of a famous for us, you know, when VHS came out, and sorry, took my reading glasses off, took the whole place down. Jeez. Grandpa's hit Grandpa Tornado's in the house.
Grandpa Nato.
Did I ever tell you about that tornado 1982? It was the whole sky went yellow.
Filled with sharks.
So anyway, there was a VHS, a video called The Making of Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Yes.
And everybody had it and everybody watched it. I watched it at my friend Ryan Wigtill's house with his two little sisters and Kristen and Heidi when we were, I don't even know how old, but it was the first time I saw, you know, the making of this. And it was so cool to me. And they showed, you know, there's so many segments of the video itself. It starts off with Jackson and an actress named Ola Ray, and all these things happen, and you find out that we're watching a movie.
It's like it's a 50s, it's a play to a nod to the 50s, you know, B horror film.
Yeah. And then we cut to them playing, you know, Michael and Ola in the movie theater watching it, and she said, "I'm scared, I'm leaving." So they leave.
But here's the thing, it's fucking horrific.
It is.
It scared the shit out of me.
It really did. You jumped.
And like tonight, watching it again.
Yeah.
Like I was like, that is some scary stuff, man.
And, then to watch the making of it and how they, because he, in that little film within the film, he turns into a werewolf. And so you see how they put the makeup on him and applied the different, you know, facial things. And so he would move his face like, you know, they open your eyes wide and, you know, make like you're shaving your mustache, you know, like make your upper lip taut, you know. So I remember watching it and then I was doing that. And one of Ryan's little sisters saw me doing that in front of me. Heidi, you're my friend on Facebook.
Oh, boy.
And it was so cool to watch it because it was just such a phenomenon. And it came out in December, late December, like December 18th, I want to say. And so during Friday Night Videos, during the holiday break, you saw it twice before you went back to school.
Yeah.
So then when I remember going back to school in 84, in January of 84, and everyone's talking about this thing because you've seen it. And then you saw it on another, you know, there were a bunch on like Saturday syndication in the afternoon. There was, every once in a while, you'd be hitting the three channels and one of them would have a video show on. It would just be a syndicated show of like 3 hours worth of videos. And I remember seeing it a few times and then just everyone was talking about it. I remember wearing my brand new tracksuit and then everyone was talking about Thriller. And it was the song itself, you know, was such a, the whole album had already become a phenomenon. And then Vincent Price is in this song,
which just adds so much depth and authenticity to the horror of it.
Mm-hmm.
So much.
And it's Landis had directed American Werewolf in London.
Oh, yeah, okay.
With David Naughton. And so Jackson had seen that and really wanted him to come in and give that type of flavor to the video, which he did. So that little film within the film had a werewolf. And then now they're walking outside and Vincent Price is narrating in the background. And then they become surrounded by zombies who we've seen crawling out of the ground.
Very realistically crawling out of the ground.
Yeah. Into the music. And then all of these zombies are dancers and they surround them. And then Ola Ray turns around and Michael Jackson's a zombie.
and about to do the fucking most badass dance of all time.
My God, the coolest choreography. And it's just, it's iconic.
It was so huge.
You know, the choreography, everyone knows how to do yeah. that, you know, kind of zombie choreography.
With the claw hands.
Yeah, and everyone has done it. Like, there's an episode of American Dad where Stan, the lead, is like, Francine, do not bother me. I'm doing the Thriller choreography with my son. And it's just become like a cultural thing. And it was important. It changed everything. It changed how to make videos.
And what I loved, a couple things that I really loved about it were, like you were talking, the sort of cinematic theme, and that it's not just a music video, but a couple of times it stops to mm-hmm. to build the story and some dialogue and things like that. And the intro, wow, I actually forgot how scary the intro is, and I forgot how detailed it is when the car breaks down or the car runs out of gas and he's like, hey, you know, we're out of gas. And she's like, mm-hmm. And then they start walking. And she's like, gee, I feel so bad. I feel so bad that you were telling me the truth. And he's like, you know, hey, will you be my girl? And then he slips the ring on.
And he goes, I'm not like other boys.
Yeah. It's like, I'm just different. I'm like, yeah, you are. Oh, my God.
You're a werewolf.
You're actually a werewolf. So I loved it. And I loved the little sly, scary look at the end when he turns around and he's got his glowing eyes going again.
Yeah. And it was cool. It was cool to see at that time a young black actress have a leading role in this really cool, cutting edge,
yeah.
new form of storytelling.
Yep.
And she was great, Ola Ray. She didn't go on to do much before that. She was actually a centerfold in Playboy.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But she was cool, and that outfit is iconic. You have to check that out. You know what? I'll put that online.
Yeah.
Her outfit was iconic with denim, but it's the leopard print yeah. denim.
Love it. I actually prefer her little outfit beginning with the poodle skirt and the saddle shoes and the little ponytail.
Of course you do. You got another one that you like?
Oh, just really quick. I do. I was just going to say, I remember... I remember it was like a big, you know, it had like a debut or it's the MTV debut of it was a particular episode and it was like a big deal. I believe we had it recorded on our VHS tape. We had pirated it.
And in the UK, they only played it after midnight because it was so scary.
Oh, really?
And it was scary. I mean, jumped tonight.
It's awesome, but it's there's a couple scenes where I'm like, whoa, geez.
It's very interesting to think that, you know, 34 years ago that came out and it just even kind of holds up to watch it now.
It does. I'm much more impressed by his werewolf transformation than I am from the werewolf transformation in, you know, like Harry Potter, for example, where I'm like, yeah, it's a computer and some guy sat behind it and yes. tapped some keys in and made it practical. Look like this thing that's real. But I'm like, well, this thing actually looks like it could fucking bite your face off.
Yeah.
You know, like it actually could bite your face off because it has actual fangs.
Yeah.
But I remember after the first time I had seen it, the next time I had seen it was when we were at Sears one day. My family and I were at Sears for some reason shopping for, you know, a fridge or who knows what. And in the appliances section where they had all the TVs, it was playing. Like in the middle of the afternoon on like, you know, 20 televisions. And I just stopped and stood there. And I remember my parents going, you know, hey, we got to go. And I'm like, I can't go. This is, you know, it's Thriller. Like, oh my God, look at this. And I remember my dad going, wow, is that Vincent Price? You know, oh my God. And so anyway, that was just a cool memory I had of it.
Well, it's interesting to look like, you know, he was always known to be like, to have this childlike presence. And so you can tell how much fun he was having,
yeah,
being in all of the prosthetic makeup,
yes.
and then in the zombie makeup, and you know, he loved to dance and he had that talent, and they danced in that zombie makeup, and you could just tell that he was loving it.
Yes, absolutely, he totally was. One of my most favorite of all time videos, the one that when I watched it today, I was like, Tom, of course you love this video. Of course you do. Because also in the way that, you know, the vintage style that some of these 80s people kind of got into and sort of the pretty in pink that we talked about and that kind of stuff, the vintage the retro look from the 80s, when the thrift store look from the 80s.
Yeah.
I watched today Alan Parsons Project's version or their video for Don't Answer Me, which came out in 1983. And it's an animated video, which was pretty unique. Usually the videos were, like we said, live action, you know, people performing on stage or some other thing. But there's no actual people in this video. It's all animated. It's actually three types of animation: cell animation, claymation, and stop motion. And so it's very unique. But it takes place in the 30s. And it takes place in a bar called the Flamingo in Florida. And, you know, we open to a bar scene with a big, ugly brute kind of lasciviously looking at this young girl who's his girlfriend. And he's very mean to her, and he grabs her really hard by the arm. He grabs her by the arm, and he bends her arm back, and these little, you know, stars kind of come out of her arm, like the pain of it. And it's like a comic book.
Yeah. And it's so gritty.
Yeah.
The animation is so gritty, but it's so cool.
And so the animator, the artist was this incredible, comic book artist and writer named Michael Kaluta. And he designed and animated the whole thing. He had a team of 40 animators create this 3-minute video. But he did sci-fi and fantasy work for, you know, things like Heavy Metal Magazine and, you know, all science fiction, fantasy, that kind of stuff.
Oh my God, Heavy Metal Magazine, man.
Yeah, yeah. Cost $50,000. Wow. It actually cost more than $50,000. It topped 50 grand. It took 23 days to film it. It was nominated for the best experimental video for the first ever MTV Music Video Awards, which were in 84, lost to Herbie Hancock's Rocket,
which is amazing.
We will talk about in another episode.
And the interesting thing is, I wonder how long that, we'll have to look, I wonder how long that category stuck around.
Yeah.
Because I wish it was still there. That's so cool.
Yeah. So the story, it's a story video, and it's very interesting. So he grabs her and he drags her out to the dance floor. He forces her to go out to the dance floor. And he's dancing with her, and she's unhappy and uncomfortable, but he's this big, giant brute, and she's scared of him. And then the door opens, and in walks Nick. And Nick is wearing his fedora and his overcoat and his suit and tie, and he walks in, and she looks over at him and goes, God, you know, oh, my God, who's this guy? And he's dreamy. And
she's, like, bowled over by him. Yes. She thinks he's so sexy.
Her name is Sugar. Bad guy's name is Muscles.
Oh my God, and he's such a bad guy. He looks like such a bad guy.
He's like Bluto on meth. and so he ends up grabbing her, and he Muscles grabs her and drags her out to his car, and they drive away, and Nick's feeling down, and he drinks a bunch of whiskey, and then he decides to drive away, and he heads to the drive-in diner to get something to eat. And while he's there, up next to them pulls Muscles and Sugar in the other car, and he looks over, and Muscles looks at Sugar and says, give me a kiss. And you know, it's all bubbles, just like in a comic book. And so it's so interesting, because you do get this sort of second level of storytelling in the video. And and then Nick just can't take it. All of a sudden Muscles hits her, and Nick jumps out of the car, and they get in a fight, and you think Nick's down, and you think that's it for old Nick, and then he gets up again, and the fight happens again, and then Nick is down on the ground, and Muscles has won, and Nick has one last punch in him, and he stands up, and he gives him an uppercut, and Muscles goes flying all the way through the atmosphere, all the way into the moon's eye, just like the famous French film.
Yeah.
And they fall in love, and she says, my hero, and, you know, she's just beautiful, you know, 1930s with her hair and her dress, and it was this imagery that really started making me go, oh, I really love this style. I love the look. I love the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's, I'm wearing that same exact outfit right now, you know, 30 plus years later. But so it ends, it's really, it's got a beautiful ending. It ends with Nick and Sugar driving off into the moonlight, and he looks up at the moon and he wipes its eye for it where Muscles has flown in, and he takes his tissue and he wipes his eye, and the moon says, "Thanks, pal." And it's just sweet, and they drive away and there's hearts flowing out of the car, and it's just really beautiful. And so when I watched it today, I was like, duh, of course you'd love that
of
video.
Of course. Well, I mean, it's right up your alley.
It really is. It really is. Don't assault women, and if you do, you're going to get fucking pop to the moon.
Yeah. Yeah. Enough said.
Seriously.
Enough said.
So that was that's my real top pick. That,
good. And like, you know, we'll once again, we'll hit this again. There's so many more to talk about. Like we said, we didn't talk about Madonna, the Cars, all of these really cool people who were around at that time.
Yes.
And we will.
We will.
We will. But right now we're going to wrap it up because it is late again.
And we spent 17 and a half hours working on this new microphone.
Like, our whole plan was to do too many episodes tonight.
Yeah.
And this full one, and we're going to get this one done. And that is all right. That is all right.
Yes. And I just wanted to thank our listeners and a couple of our friends who have given us the feedback and who continue to listen despite the fact that our microphones were less than great.
Yeah.
And thank you for sticking with us. And we are open to your constructive criticism and positive feedback. So tell us if this sounds awful. I think it sounds fine.
No, it's going to be life changing for you because we're not going to, and I keep moving around this whole time. So I might sound kind of weird because I'm freaking out. I just want it to sound good. But so, right. So I just really want it to sound good. Rate and review us on iTunes.
Yes.
It's good. People are doing that. We appreciate it, but it really helps us just gain a little more attention.
It also makes us feel good when somebody says, "You guys are cool."
Yeah. And when it's someone that we don't know, I'm like,
yeah, who are you people?
You don't even know us. That's nice. So once again, thanks for listening.
Follow us on Instagram.
Yep. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. We're going to have a lot more. I'm going to put all of our stuff that we put on Facebook. I'm also going to put it on Twitter. So please follow us on Twitter and Twitter, Twitter, Twitter. And I thank everyone for listening. I really think that this is going to make a difference. We're going to listen to it now. We're
probably
gonna
also, not, but anyway.
And once we put it up and put it into the ether, I hope it sounds this fucking good too. But thanks again. We will be back at some next week.
Yeah.
And stay awesome.
Stay rad.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.